You are listening to Winning with Mainstay. The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Mainstay Financial Services, with host Bob Burgi.
Information provided on Winning with Mainstay Financial is provided for educational purposes only and is not intended to be specific financial advice for individuals. All information presented is believed to be from reliable sources and no representation is made to its accuracy. Views presented are those of Mainstay Financial and host Bob Burgi and do not necessarily represent the view of Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. Alpha Star Capital Management is an SEC registered investment advisor. Registration does not constitute an endorsement of the firm by the commission, nor does it indicate that the advisor or investment advisor representative has attained a particular level of skill or ability. Opinions expressed are subject to change and do not constitute financial, legal, or tax advice. You should consult your financial professional before executing any financial strategy. Now, here's Bob Burgi.
Good morning, Jenna. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, happy Tuesday to you. Every day we see each other is a Tuesday, right?
It's a happy day is what it is.
That's
actually.
Right. Now, I have to compliment you and Mike on your show. It's a great show. I learned so much. I have the good fortune of getting in my car at about 9:30, so I get to hear half of it, you know?
Oh, we have so much fun.
Yes, you do. You do. And you're talking about pictures that people, I never thought that would work in radio, you know, for obvious reasons, but people sending in their pictures and
isn't
you're commenting
amazing?
On. Yeah. Yeah. And it's almost like I can, you know, the description is great and I can almost see what you're talking about.
My pronunciation is not so great.
Do you know what? Okay. So Mike Wiggins, he's right up there with nuclear physicists and, you know, all these people that are so much smarter than everyone else, because the words he's using, the vocabulary during his show, I'm like, wow, this guy's a genius, you know, and maybe he is. Well,
oh, absolutely.
At least in this. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He ran this city. Good grief. And, you know, and he's talking about all these things for an hour, and I mean every word is at least five syllables, right?
It's such a kind soul.
Yes, he's great.
Every word is five syllables. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's very true.
I really
enjoyed. Well, thank
enjoyed,
you for listening.
Yeah, I enjoyed the show. What is the sort of the black grass, the Halloween grass? You don't even remember. I don't know. I just heard it myself.
It is the black mondo grass.
Black mondo grass.
We got to get some of that.
Okay. Well, that isn't that difficult a word, but...
No, it was just me trying to sneeze to say
its
actual Latin word.
There was something that began with a D that I already forgot. I can't remember.
A dichondra.
A dichondra.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I have to say it in a crazy, you know, vampire voice just for today.
So Halloween is your time of the year, huh?
I love every day, but yes, I love just being able to celebrate. And I feel like Halloween kicks off celebration season until we get a break to hibernate in the actual winter months.
I gotcha.
So this is like the warm up for the fun season.
Okay. So this is our, what do you call it? Our segue into our show. Okay. So we're in the fall. We're in the end of the year. We're certainly in the fourth quarter of 2021.
We are in the fourth quarter.
So what should we be doing? We should be looking at year-end tax strategies or tax ideas just to wrap up the year. Because guess what? Most of your tax strategies for 2021 are no good in 2022. With the exception of a few things like IRA contributions, but anyway, let's first recognize our resources for today. Found a great article in the Kiplinger newsletter. It's dated It's dated actually this month, 2021, had some great ideas. And of course, we incorporated a couple other resources like MarketWatch, Investopedia, and one of my favorites, The Motley Fool. But year-end tax strategies are what we're talking about today. So, Jenna, are you ready for the first one?
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right. The first thing you should do has to do with your paycheck, okay? When you start a new job and possibly you never look at it again, you elect a withholding, you know, a tax withholding. And you can do that a number of ways, and I won't get into it. But if you are owing a lot of money at the end of the year, the following year for that tax year, or you get back a substantial amount of money, you may want to revisit what your withholding is on your paycheck with your employer. There are other types of withholding, like required minimum distributions if you're over age 72. You can elect a withholding. We have people that elect 30% withholdings. We have people that elect 0% withholding. That is a choice. Not as much of a choice with your paycheck, but you do want to make sure that it lines up with your tax liability for the prior year once it's all said and done. So if you were hit with a big tax bill this year because you didn't have enough money withheld from your paycheck last year, you may be able to take steps between now and the year end to avoid another surprise in April or whenever you're filing your tax return. So there is a resource. If you go to irs.gov, there is an IRS tax withholding estimator, and you can determine whether you should file a new W-4 with your employer to have more withheld or less withheld. Mm-hmm. And and all it does is increase what is, you know, the taxes, the income taxes withheld in your paycheck. So, and of course, at the end of the year, you want that to be, you know, somewhere around what you're going to owe the following year for that year. But you'll want to visit the IRS.gov website with a recent pay stub or a copy of last year's tax return, your 1040, and it'll tell you when you put everything in how much extra withholding you should have on line 4C, or how much less withholding. So again, the reason you're looking at your withholding is you don't want to owe too much and come out of pocket, and you don't want to get another big paycheck, you know, from the IRS because you had more withheld. Some people do that. I don't understand it. I would rather hang on to my money throughout the year than have the IRS pay me back in April, May, or June whenever I get that refund. So in general, you don't have to worry about a penalty if you owe less than $1,000 after subtracting the withholdings and credits, okay? Or if you paid at least 90% of the amount due for the current year, or 100% of the taxes due for the previous year, whichever is smaller, you're going to be fine. So don't have too little withheld, and certainly don't have too much withheld. All right, so check your withholding. The second tax tip for year-end tax planning: consider paying bills or having certain procedures done, medical procedures, or going, you know, Jenna, have you ever looked at your insurance and seen where your vision coverage, mm-hmm, allows for one visit to the ophthalmologist to have your eyes tested?
Yeah, every year.
Every year, you know, with your dentist, a teeth cleaning or a checkup, whatever they want to call it. Sometimes on the vision plans, it will allow you to go ahead and buy a new pair of glasses and have the frames covered once every 2 years. So if it's once a year, go ahead and get it done. Get that extra pair of glasses.
Right.
Every other year, I'll go ahead and have some prescription, what do you call it, sunglasses. You know, that's an awesome thing. You know, when you're driving, when you're outside, to have some prescription lenses, that's perfect. But go ahead and take advantage of those things. And not only that, if you have procedures beyond that, major procedures, and Jenna, sometimes we're between jobs, sometimes we're switching insurance companies, sometimes we're getting off our own and going to our spouse's insurance company. If you have a procedure, and what you, or if you have a procedure that's, you know, not urgent, but that you can get done this year or possibly wait till next year when you have better insurance coverage, you know, that's something to consider. But for those amounts that you have to come out of pocket, okay, there are deductible expenses. And to the extent your medical expenses exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, you can deduct those expenses. Now, there's a big asterisk in this area. If you have no itemized deductions, and let's face it, over the last couple of years, the standard deduction has doubled. Right now, for married couples, Jenna, it's $25,100. Mm-hmm. For a single person, it's $12,550. But if you're married and you don't, and you're not using the standard deduction, that means all of your deductions have to exceed $25,100. That's a big number. That's a really big number. So a lot of people are not itemizing anymore. But if you're itemizing, why not pull all of the expenses into this year, and instead of wasting that itemized deduction for this year, you can build it up, take the deductions this year, and then get everything out of the way, possibly the procedures you need done that you've been deferring for so long and what you have to come out of pocket, and go ahead and opt for the standard deduction next year because you're not itemizing. That's a little hard to follow, but, you know, unless your finances have changed significantly and you are not taking the standard deduction of $25,100 for married filing jointly, you may want to consider loading up the balance of this year if you can get in and get these procedures done, and using it on the Schedule A, your itemized deductions. The other thing you may want to do, this falls under prepaying things or getting things out of the way this year. If you have a child that's going to college, you can prepay the tuition. You can prepay the tuition for 2022. You know, they'll take your money at the colleges. And if you know they're going to be there, you may be able to lower your 2021 tax bill by prepaying the first semester, the first quarter, or the first year of 2022. Now, the interesting thing about this is you don't need to itemize to get this tax break. So even if you're taking the standard deduction, okay, there is something called the American Opportunity Tax Credit. Okay, you can do this for students who are in their first 4 years of undergraduate study only. So not for kids in law school, med school, grad school, or any school past the first 4 years of undergraduate studies. Okay, but it's worth up to $2,500 for each qualifying child. And that's a child, of course, in a undergraduate college, university, or even junior college or community college. So it's that's important. And there are some restrictions on how much money you can make. If it's a married couple and they're filing a joint return, they can take the full $2,500 tax credit. And remember, a credit is way more valuable than a deduction. That's $2,500 in your pocket. That's like for most people, a $10,000 deduction, because a tax credit is money back to you. It's money it comes off your taxable liability, or it comes to you in the form of a check to you if it's a tax credit. But your taxable income for married filing jointly has to be under $160,000. So that's, you know, that's something that's very important if you're able to take what is known as the American Opportunity Tax Credit. A lot of people don't know about that. There's another one. If you want to improve yourself, okay, if you're, and we're not talking about kids, but let's say you choose to take classes to boost your career, you want to receive extra training, and you come out of pocket to pay for these. So whatever you're spending on tuition, fees, books, up to $2,000 per year, there's what is known as a lifetime learning credit, and you can count this as well on your 2021 tax return and get this money back or have it deducted from your tax liability. Again, it's a tax credit, and you know, it's very important. Now, the credit is only for 20% of what you would otherwise of what you would be spending. However, if you're spending $10,000, you can take a credit of $2,000. That's 20% of $10,000. So again, there are limitations on income, and for married filing jointly, it's $160,000. All right. There are other things you can do, like contributing to a 529 college plan. If you have a special needs child, you can making contributions to what is known as an ABLE account, A-B-L-E account. These are tax strategies that you may want to push into the current tax year and take advantage of in 2021. All right. The third way of reducing your tax bill for 2021 is to take a look at your capital gains and losses. At the end of the year, the tax code allows you to sell investments that have fallen below your purchase price, and you can use the resulting loss to offset capital gains in taxable accounts. Now, harvesting capital gain losses, you know, we're talking about non-qualified accounts only. We're not talking about your traditional IRA, your Roth IRA, your 401k. So it doesn't matter how well or poorly you've done in those accounts. This is for non-qualified accounts. So perhaps, you know, you call it your individual account, your joint account, but it's non-retirement accounts only. So selling stocks, or what we call tax harvesting, your losing positions, is what we're talking about in terms of taking losses now to offset gains that you've had in the same year. Okay, investments that you've held for over a year are taxed as long-term capital gain. That can be anywhere, depending on your income, up to 23.8%. Okay, investments that have been held for less than one year, less than 365 days, are treated as short-term capital gain and are taxed at your ordinary income tax rate. But both of those gains, short-term gains and long-term gains, can be offset by their corresponding losses. In addition, investors that are in the bottom two tax brackets with income less than $40,400 if you're filing a single return, or $80,800, almost $81,000 a year, you're not going to pay much at all. Okay, you're going to have no capital gains taxes whatsoever if you're in those bottom two rates for single filers and joint filers. All right, so one other thing about harvesting capital gain losses. After matching the short-term losses against short-term gains and long-term losses against long-term gains, any excess losses can be used to offset the opposite kind of gain. Okay, it's not too complicated, but we're just talking about short-term and long-term gains and losses. So if you still wind up with an overall capital loss, you can use up to $3,000 of that loss to offset ordinary income, and then you can roll the rest over to the following year. I think everybody's heard of capital loss carry forward. In most cases, that never goes away. That may change with tax changes. But once you sell an asset at a loss, also know you have to wait 30 days before reinvesting or repurchasing a substantially equal position. All right, Jenna, I see we have a text message here.
Yes.
All right. Can you read this for me, please?
Yes. I can totally read it for you.
It's kind of complicated.
I'm taking a lot of notes for you over here. Yeah. I feel very productive. Okay, so this is a tax question from our friend Janet. Where can one find a simple breakpoint of incomes to tax percent liability? For example, an income of $20,000 to $42,000 is X percent.
Yeah. Okay, if you're filing a single return, mm-hmm. almost up to that point, this is Janet.
Yes.
Okay. Almost up to that point, and it's actually $40,400, you are paying 12%. And that's in taxable income, Janet. And then $42,000 to $55,000, well, your brackets are wrong, and I know you just gave those as an example. And this is a great question. She gave examples. But, you know, basically up to $40,400 if you're filing a single return, and $80,800, double the amount if you're filing a joint return, you're taxed at 12% up to that amount. Now, very important, and we're going to talk about this later, your tax rate after that amount almost doubles. It increases from 12% to 22%. That's an important break point for so many people. So we look at that basically. $40,000 and almost $81,000 is break points for most people. Let's see. There's another question. Let's see. IRS does not show this. This is to help several. I know. Okay. 59. The 59 and a half. Okay. She's also asking about taking IRA distributions. Yes. If you're taking IRA distributions, and let's say you're married, if you can keep that amount under $80,800 for your total taxable income for the taxable year of 2021, I would not trip over that amount. But if you want, you know, by the same token, if you're nowhere near the $80,800 in taxable income and you're filing a joint return, yeah, I would go ahead and take some more this year, because who knows what tax rates are going to be next year. I think we all agree that our personal income taxes are probably going up, if anything, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be paid for, and I think this tax revenue is something that has been identified as a way to pay for these things, and you know, so Janet, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Please call our office at 850-437-3127, and what we'll do is we will send you the tax, the 2021 tax planner that shows you all of these rates, and it's great. I use it every day. It's the it's probably the most prominent thing on my desk, because remember, as we say at Mainstay Financial Group, it's not what you make, it's what you get to keep. So tax planning, and that's what this show is all about, is what we're looking at doing, you know, for this show, and certainly all shows that follow this one. Janet, again, if you have any questions, please call here at the station, 850-437-1620, or call our office at 850-437-3127 and speak to Hillary, and she will provide you with the 2021 tax planner. All right. So, Jenna, as usual, we are at the halfway point, right, at halfway through the show. Janet, we appreciate your question, and we're going to be going to a break here with Mark to cover the news, and then we'll be joining you after that with the next five tax strategies for 2021. Take it away, Mark.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. A record number of people are quitting their jobs, a trend some have dubbed the Great Resignation. But the phenomenon is making an outsized impact in Georgia, Kentucky, and Idaho, where more than 4% of workers voluntarily left their jobs in August, the highest rates in the country. Those three among the states with the nation's lowest minimum wage, $7.25 an hour. By comparison, about 1.7% of workers in Washington, D.C. quit their jobs, and the nation's highest minimum wage is there at $15.20 an hour. With the COVID situation slowly improving, are you ready to get out again? 61% of adults surveyed by Bankrate.com say they're ready to attend live events or attractions again, up from 51% earlier in the year. Number one on the list, movie theaters, followed by amusement parks, zoos, and aquariums. Those destinations were followed by fairs, festivals, and carnivals. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial's up another 150. The NASDAQ is up 126. The S&P 500 up 30. That's Your Money Now.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
So pumped up.
Yeah, I like that song. That was a good call.
Always a good call.
Whose idea was that?
That was actually your idea, okay. But let me just tell you, when I first started here on Pensacola Expert Panel, I made my own favorite Pensacola Expert Panel playlist. I have it on my Spotify if you want to go look. And it's literally called Pep Talk. And this is one of the first ones I added. It's one of my absolute favorite songs. Yeah, from high school.
So you have a Spotify with kind of your best of
Pep Talk.
Yeah, you can just run through those, okay, in the shows coming up. Yeah,
that'd be great. Oh, absolutely. Hey, you know, so I've been back here taking notes while Bob Burgee talks and is sharing and educating. That's the whole purpose of the Pensacola Expert Panel, is to educate and inform and then answer questions and help give you guidance. But you were mentioning, of course, you know, a ton of tax credits, tax everything that people don't normally think of. Yeah. Is there a lot just like that we miss out on just because of not knowing?
Yeah, well, I know you were asking about the, you know, the learning credits.
Yeah, going back to school.
Now, the American Opportunity Tax Credit is actually a very strong one. And that's when you pay for your kids' college, okay?
Okay.
But it's a tax credit, which is very powerful. The other one that you kind of perked up about was the lifetime learning credit.
Yes.
And that's 20%, you know, let's use that, 20%. 20% of the expenses will come back to you in the form of a credit up to a total of $2,000. Okay. Mm. So pretty powerful. But that's, you know, you don't have to go sign up for classes at college. You know, this can be training to, you know, just better yourself, or, you know, it's kind of nice that we're able to do a little of that. I wanted to point out, and we'll get into this a little more later, so many people think that since they have this huge standard deduction, and just so you know, it has doubled over the last couple of years. But because we have, you know, their blanket statement to me will be, well, I don't itemize. I take the standard deduction. Well, that's great, but there are some things that you can still do, mm-hmm. with, and still take the standard deduction. And I'll get into a few of those in a little bit.
Yeah.
But okay.
We do have a question.
Oh, okay.
And I want to remind you, if you do have a question, you want to hop on into the conversation, 850-437-1620. This question says, my wife passed away earlier this year. Is there anything I should be considering when it comes to taxes, so tax-wise, for this year? And we're talking year-end tax planning.
And the answer to that is absolutely. This is a huge year to do tax planning. And of course, you know, you've lost your spouse, your life partner, and our most sincere condolences there. Mm-hmm. However, this is a very important tax year, because this could very well be the last year that you file a joint return. And as we discussed, the tax brackets increase twice as fast when you file a single return. And we talked about the $40,400 and the $80,800. We'll just call it, you know, basically $40,000 and $81,000. So those are the two income tax amounts where your taxable income jumps from a 12% income tax rate to 22% income tax rate. So I would strongly consider a couple of things, and I almost don't know where to begin, but certainly increasing your RMD, taking some income that you otherwise wouldn't take. You know, I'm going to say this, Jenna, considering a Roth conversion. You can do a Roth conversion, take traditional IRA assets, convert them to Roth IRA assets, and essentially never pay taxes on that money again. But in 2022, you know, most likely, my friend, you're going to be filing a single return, mm-hmm. and you're going to get to those tax brackets twice as fast, if that makes sense. Anyway, feel free to call in, and we can discuss that. But you should be looking at several things in 2021, specifically increasing your income, recognizing income, taking more in RMDs, or possibly converting traditional assets to a Roth IRA this year, because you won't be treated the same in 2022. Okay, thank you for that question. Okay, so we talked about check your withholding amount for RMDs, for paycheck earnings, prepay deductible expenses. Now, that has a lot to do with medical expenses, maybe your mortgage, state taxes. If you live in Alabama, state income taxes, tuition, especially undergraduate tuition, things like that. Tax harvesting at end of year, that should be something you do every single year. Tax harvesting, that meaning taking losses to offset gains. And what goes hand in hand with that, Jenna, is mutual fund capital gain distributions. And again, we're talking about non-qualified accounts, because you don't pay any attention to that when they're in retirement accounts. But when you buy a mutual fund, and I've seen this over and over, you get in this hot mutual fund, it's got a great 10-year, 5-year, 3-year historical returns, and you invest your money in there. Well, you're buying into something that has gain already. The gain hasn't been recognized. But I'll never forget, we had somebody that wanted this fund. We went ahead and got it. It was a managed fund, so it wasn't low turnover, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. It wasn't what we would call a tax-efficient or tax-managed mutual fund. But inside that fund was hundreds of thousands of shares of Amazon. And Amazon had just gone from, you know, had just gone through the ceiling. Well, that mutual fund manager that year decided, the year that our client purchased this outside of their account, decided to sell a big holding of Amazon. So all of the capital appreciation for the Amazon holding, and let's say it was purchased 10 years ago, all of that capital gain was distributed to the shareholders of record on that date. Okay? So that means the people that owned the fund for 10 years and the person that just bought it that day or that week had the same tax liability, had the same long-term capital gains distribution liability. And that's, you know, that's very aggravating when you get this long-term capital gain or short-term capital gain distribution at the end of the year and you didn't even own it the whole year. So be very careful about that, you know. And I'm not saying you got to get inside and look at all of the holdings and what the cost basis is, but you better know that if it's a high turnover fund and actively managed, you're going to have capital gain distributions going forward, and you did not participate in one bit of that appreciation. Wow. I hope that makes sense, but it's like buying a piece of property, okay? And it's like buying a piece of property that has a lot of tax liability to it, and you inherit it, and you inherit all of that tax liability as well. So watch out for capital gains distributions. All right. So again, Jenna, we're halfway through this, but I wanted to talk about also there's the charitable contributions and how so many of our clients say, you know, I'm itemizing, so there's nothing I can do. There's a few things you can do. Even if you're taking the standard deduction, okay, you are able to deduct a small amount, but a meaningful amount of gifts to charity, okay? Mm-hmm. So since the 2017 tax overhaul effectively doubled the standard deduction, most taxpayers don't even itemize, and that's a true statement. A majority of taxpayers do no longer itemize due to the large standard deduction now. But if you make a charitable contribution before December 31st of this year, you may be able to take a deduction. So for the 2021 tax year, if you people who take the standard deduction can deduct up to $300 of cash donations to charity. The $300 amount is per person. So if you're married and filing a joint return, you can deduct a total of $600 to charity. Now, Jenna, that was sort of a consolation because, you know, guess who suffered the most with the standard deduction? It's charities. Okay.
Oh,
people just took their $25,100 standard deduction. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not going to give this to this charity that, you know, I've given to in the past because now my standard deduction is doubled. I don't need to itemize. I don't need to exceed that amount that would require me to itemize. So it's a small consolation to the charities. But if you hold you know, a certain organization near and dear to your heart, you can still receive the tax benefit of writing a check up to $600 for 2021 if you're filing a joint return. So that's huge. I want to talk a little bit more about cash contributions to charities. Contributions of clothing, household goods to your local Goodwill or Salvation Army, those are not eligible, okay? You can't take the standard deduction and deduct the fair market value of that. Donations to donor advised funds aren't eligible either. But if you for donations that are under $250, you need a bank record such as a canceled check or a credit card statement or something from them. And for donations that exceed $250, you're going to need an appraisal or some sort of acknowledgement of the date of the contribution and what they think it was worth. So that's also very important. I'm going to talk a little bit more about gifts to charity and how to do that. For those of you that have traditional IRA balances or 401k balances with traditional traditional balances, if you are donating to charity, why not receive the full tax benefit? And we're talking about what is known as a qualified charitable deduction, okay? So for taxpayers 72 years of age or older, you can transfer up to $100,000 from a traditional IRA tax-free to charity each year, as long as the transfer of the money to the charity is a direct transfer, okay? This is a nice benefit for IRA owners because the distribution also counts or can count as your required minimum distribution. So if you have an RMD, and we talk about RMDs a lot, and you don't need it, let's say it's $40,000 and you need to take that out of your traditional IRA this year, that can be transferred to a charity in the form of a QCD, a qualified charitable deduction transfer, and it'll do two things. It will reduce your tax liability, of course, because you're not recognizing the income from the RMD, and it will also reduce the value of your IRA and reduce your RMDs going forward. A little complicated, but you know, for all these people that are gifting to charity, that's the first source, Jenna, that I would look to make a contribution, a meaningful contribution to a charity.
Okay, very good. And hey, you mentioned Roth IRAs, and we do have a couple of questions. So let me go ahead and start with the first one.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a regular IRA and a Roth IRA. Explain to me why I should consider converting my IRA to a Roth IRA. And then the second one says, I have a Roth IRA. When must I take mandatory withdrawals?
Okay, let's take the first one. You mm-hmm. may need to remind me of the second one. Why should you consider, or what criteria should you consider in mm-hmm. deciding to transfer what you called your regular IRA or balances from your regular IRA or your traditional IRA to your Roth IRA? And the biggest criteria is, what is your taxable income? If you are below $80,800 in taxable income, married filing jointly, you should strongly consider doing a Roth conversion, because you're going to be paying 12% on that amount. So hey, we're talking about how to save money in taxes, mm-hmm. you know, income taxes for this year. This is a way of prepaying your income tax liability so that later on you're not. Let me just use an example. The examples are the most powerful form of educating. We all know that. Had a gentleman come in, I want to say, let's see, it was last week. I can't remember what day. He is making $3,500 a year. Excuse me, $3,500 a month, okay? So let's say his taxable income is around $40,000 a year. He files a joint return with his wife, but that is their total income, right around $40,000. I said to this gentleman, you need to strongly consider doing a Roth conversion with this traditional IRA money. And, you know, of course, you know, I also encourage them to, you know, run this up the flagpole and even ask your tax advisor or ask around. You know, a lot of people go home, Google it, and see if it's a good idea. But, you know, we formalize this with an email afterwards and say, you know, again, strongly consider this. He calls back this week and says, yeah, my accountant told me that I should do $40,000 Roth conversion from my traditional IRA to my Roth IRA this year. By the way, both accounts are open. We have a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA. So it's real easy. We're not opening accounts. You know, there's a one-page form. It identifies the traditional IRA account number, the Roth IRA account number, and the amount we want converted. They sign at the bottom, and it's done. Now, this gentleman, he and his wife are going to pay 12% on that $40,000. But guess what? He has not taken any money out of the traditional IRA, and he's looking at RMDs beginning at age 72. So they're getting Social Security, no pension, nothing else, and they're living on $3,500 a month. But at age 72, when RMDs are required, that money is going to weigh more than double. If tax rates stay the same, he's effectively going to be paying double that amount on anything that he does in the way of a Roth conversion at that time, because he'll be in the 24% tax bracket at that time. It's difficult to follow, but basically, for our listener, Roth IRA conversions depend on one thing, and that's your taxable income during the taxable year. But you can certainly call our office at 850-437-3127, and we can, you know, take a deeper dive into your personal circumstances. The other question was about Roth IRAs.
Yeah.
Remind me.
When must one take a mandatory withdrawal from a Roth IRA?
Okay. If you are the owner and you were the one that contributed to the Roth IRA, if you're the original owner, there are no RMDs with the Roth IRA. So you asked a question that I should have pointed out to you during the Roth conversion conversation, but the beautiful thing about the Roth IRA, there are no RMDs with a Roth IRA if you are the original owner. The rules change for inherited IRA, Roth IRAs, and that's a whole different, you know, that's a whole different animal. But if you have your own Roth IRA, you made the contributions or had employer match, you know, if it was inside your 401k and you rolled it out to your own personal Roth IRA, there will be no RMDs ever. So great, great question. And you gave me an opportunity to talk about my favorite type of account, the Roth IRA. So thank you for those questions. And do we have any other questions before I jump back into this? And
right now we're quiet over here.
Okay.
It's just me clicking away.
Okay, good. All right. So we've talked about check your withholding, prepay deductible expenses now, harvest your capital gain losses, capital gain distributions. You need to look into those and know what they are, possibly convert that money to a more tax managed or tax efficient fund if you're paying high capital gain taxes due to the capital gain distributions from the fund. Max out your retirement plan contributions. You want to do that every year. If you're over age 50, you can do a total of $26,000 to your 401k, 403b, your TSP, thrift savings plan. So these are things you want to do. Max out charitable contributions. Definitely do that. Donate cash to charity, but you're only going to be able to deduct $600 per year, even if you take the standard deduction. But if $600 if you're married filing jointly, $300 for a single return. Qualified charitable distributions. Very important way to maximize in terms of taxable tax liability gifts to charity. The caller made a great point. Roth conversions. Roth conversions are going to save you no money in the tax year that you do it, but it may save enormous amounts of money going forward. Because as we say, Jenna, at Mainstay Financial Group, it's not what you make, it's what you get to keep and pass along to the folks you love or the causes you believe in. And that's very important. So look to your traditional IRA balances for making larger gifts to your church or any 501c3 entity. The last thing I want to talk about, and we're running out of time, but this is the last thing. We've covered everything, but you know, we talk about asset allocation, asset location. Asset location is a new concept. Where to draw money from when you need money. Your non-qualified money typically is the source of funds that you want to go to first to take money out that you need, okay? So that's your non-qualified money, your non-retirement money, your non-Roth, your non-traditional IRA, or money that is not in an employer's qualified plan, a retirement plan. That's your first source of funds. Of course, cash and checking will work for that, but then non-qualified investment accounts would be a close second. After that, you may want to look to retirement accounts. First and foremost, traditional balances. If you have room in your tax bracket, like we talked about, the 12% tax bracket, you can take distributions from your traditional balances, pay the taxes, and use that for your needs. If you're over age 72, you're having to take it out anyway. So, you know, traditional IRA balance is second. The last one, what we call legacy accounts, your Roth IRA. The caller asked what his RMD was or her RMD was for the Roth IRA. If it's your own, there is no required minimum distribution. Very, very powerful. As we close, I want to share something with our listeners. You know, the Roth IRA came into being in 1997, so a lot of us don't have huge balances. It is the fastest growing segment of account balances on the planet, or how about in this country, at least. But Roth IRAs are huge. They're here to stay. And that is what we consider legacy money. We rarely see people touch it. Okay. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We will talk to you next week. A lot of information. Go to Google, go to your tax advisor, go to your investment advisor for more. Thank you so much, Jenna.
Thank you.